Hello and welcome to Top 5 Nintendo, where we talk about all things Nintendo and come up with top 5 lists. Today's list is going to be Super Metroid's top 5 abilities and or weapons and or power-ups or whatever you want to call them. I'm sure by the time this is up, we'll have an official name. My name is Jake. I'll be your host today, and I am here with Sam. Sam, how are you doing today?
Doing very well.
Sweet. Both of us are a little hyped up on my cold brew, which is maybe a good thing. Let's have some fun today. So, I admittedly only played Super Metroid this year. I had a lot of fun with it. I played the first Metroid first, also this year. But they were both very fun. It was so, so cool going into the Super Metroid right after playing the first one and seeing like the NES graphics going into the Super Nintendo graphics. Was honestly such a cool experience and made it that much better. When was your first? Did you also play this year, Sam?
So I played it for the first time last year.
Okay.
I played it on the Virtual Console for the Switch, and I loved it. It has one of my favorite aesthetics of any video game. I love how colorful it was, especially on the Switch's graphics, and how all the regions are very vibrant, or they can be dark. There's so much range in how it looks. It's really great. I mean, sometimes it's creepy and sometimes it's fun. I have not played much of the first one, the first Metroid. I played just a little bit of it just to know how it moves and how it looks. It's not as like immediate as Super Metroid. Super Metroid,
definitely.
You can hop right into it and it moves real quick.
Yeah.
And Metroid felt a little bit like, I don't know where to go.
Yeah, that's pretty valid. Especially with that intro sequence in Super Metroid. It just feels so cinematic, and really sets like the eeriest mood to start the game.
Right.
And then let alone pitting you right into like this boss battle and then this timed escape, and you know, the whole introduction just really gets you in the mood.
Yeah, I think cinematic is the perfect word for it. They absolutely knew what they were doing. They were like starting with this very narrative driven crisis to get the player hooked into it. It's not meant to challenge you, right? You know how it starts off with that, like, oh, you have 1 minute to leave the station for no reason. And it's not too hard, but it's
you
like
still have a sense of like urgency.
Now I'm hooked, right? Yeah. I need to get out of here. I feel like I'm, you know, Samus herself. And I think they knew what they were doing with that. Metroid, the franchise, it borrows from the sci-fi movies. Alien is the most obvious example. Yeah. They grab the Ridley, the boss. Mm-hmm. That's Ridley Scott, the creator of Alien. And that helped make it such a fun game, is that they had all these influences. Some people already kind of set this sci-fi alien blueprint, and the Metroid creators were able to grab from that.
Mm-hmm. And it's also super interesting because when you think of Nintendo, like these vibes is not what you think of. So it's super cool they were able to pull off a third installment of this franchise so late into, like, relatively late into Nintendo's career, and have it feel right.
Yeah, totally. I'm thinking of other Nintendo games that were around this time period, and we had like Super Mario World, which is a very cute game, very family friendly. There was Kirby Superstar, again, very, very cute, family friendly, and Earthbound was the same year. And all of them are primary color, where, you know, nothing too scary. And then Super Metroid is, oh, they're scary aliens.
Right.
Right. They're skeletons.
Actually, they were originally too cute because the development team was so used to making those cute characters that they ended up very late into the game having to like sort of redraw some of these characters, or most of the bosses actually, to make them more intimidating and less cute.
That's funny. I had no clue. I know that there are, because the thing about Planet Zebes is that they're not all bad. There's some good characters that like teach you how to do the super jump. they teach you how to wall jump, and those characters are pretty cute.
Yeah,
they're not meant to be scary aliens, but those are only like two designs compared to all the other, you know, flying alien bugs.
Right.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to redraw them, but that totally makes sense. I'm sure they weren't used to that stuff.
Yeah. All right, you ready to get into it?
Let's give it a shot.
All right, I'm going to start with my number five, which was such a fun and unexpected power-up you get in the game, which is the speed booster. You don't use it a lot, but when you do, I mean, there's nothing even extremely special about it, but it's just so fun. Like, I always wanted to use it. Moving faster in any game is always a joy because you're not wasting your time walking around, but I don't know, just the graphics of it, like the idea of like Samus running like the Flash through.
That's what I was going to say. You feel like a superhero. You feel like the Flash.
Yeah, it really does feel like a superhero. It's just such a joy. I don't know if I have a whole lot to say about it, but probably the funnest power up for me.
Yeah, when I think of that power up, I imagine like the few couple of moments in the game where you feel like you just got out of the room like in the nick of time, or you're able to speed through all those bad guys who you thought you couldn't even like defeat before, and you just beat them all in one run. It's the one power up, the one item, whatever, that really feels like you're the Flash for a moment. It's the superhero one. It's not like the strategy based.
Exactly.
It's the, you know, oh, I can now get to the next part in the game with it. And it is fun. I also love the graphics. I feel like they definitely knew what they were doing, where it's kind of like, what's the word, like maybe like glitchy a little bit. Like,
you kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Like flashing a little bit.
Yeah. Like you threw a delay pedal on Samus.
Yes, it's the delay pedal item.
But it's also fun just to like you said, kind of, but just to like crash through those like sort of breakaway walls that, you know, you need that power up to break through.
Right, right. And if I remember correctly, you can also use that power up to, so you'll run and then the flashing activates.
Yeah.
And then you hold down.
Yeah.
And then you store the power. Have you done that trick before?
That was my next topic. I can't tell you. So, I mean, this is a speed run game. I definitely did not speed run it because I can't tell you how many times, like at one point, I don't know if you had to, but I wanted to. There's this area where you have to do, you know, you can do that to get to the certain, maybe there's more missiles or a health pack up there. I don't remember exactly, but I literally spent maybe a half hour over and over. I had to take a break at some point because I was so frustrated. I was like probably yelling at my TV. I couldn't time it well enough, or like maybe at first I didn't understand the mechanic of it, and it just took me so long. It was so frustrating, but once you hit it, it's like nothing is more joyful.
Right. I had a similar experience where I got to the one part where the good alien teaches you how to do that super jump, and you need to do the jump to get out of there.
Yeah.
I don't think you're even able to wall jump your way out. And I spent so long like, oh gosh, can't there be a different way? Like, can I reload another save? Like, I don't even want to be here anymore. I'm scared.
Speaking of reloading saves, have you intentionally killed yourself to go back to like the front of a, I don't know, area of the map?
Of course. You have to.
Yeah, have to. But that was a clever thing I didn't think of, but I found out in Googling that that's an easier way to move around the map.
Oh, right. When you're like, I didn't even really advance anything. I didn't like discover new areas. I'm just going to go back.
You have to go like back and forth throughout areas several times. So once you get the power up at the end of a level or an area, whatever you want to call it, a region, it's just easier to just kill yourself and go back to the elevator.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
I feel like I did not use that as strategically as I could have.
Yeah.
I'll admit, I played with save states because I was on the virtual console. So I guess that's totally different though, because when you save state, it doesn't keep your progress. So now in my next playthrough, I'm going to have to start just letting the aliens eat me when it's time to move around.
I've done that a few times. But to be fair, We discussed this before we started recording, but I never thought to wall jump up the long drop ways. Mm-hmm. But apparently you did. So that's another cool thing that everyone could play in their own way.
Right. Well, that's one of those things where, because I am in my second playthrough, and that's more of like a second playthrough type of style, I feel like. Because the first time you're still exploring the mm-hmm. areas, and you're not great at the super jump or the wall jump, and you don't really know where everything is, and you're just trying to kind of beat the boss and then do the next thing.
Right.
But I was like, oh, like what parts am I going to uncover? I mean, I feel like this is my favorite part of the game of Super Metroid, is how they made all of the places so that you can sometimes access places you aren't supposed to by doing things like wall jumping.
Right.
It's a lot of it's wall jumping, but just thinking of getting to places in, you know, outside of the box way of thinking.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the second playthrough so much fun, is that I'll do what you were saying. Like, that part where I fall down, I'll jump back up and go through this other spot. And now all of a sudden I unlock this whole place way early.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I, that's one of the cooler parts about the game, is that the developers like let you do that. They let you, you know?
Yeah. There's a feeling of freedom to the game.
Exactly.
It doesn't point you in any direction.
Right. Right. It's, I feel like game developers didn't pick up on that way of thinking until much later with like the 3D open worlds, okay, you can go to that place.
Yeah.
And if you die because, you know, you aren't a high enough level, that's on you.
Right.
Kind of like, going to like in Pokemon, you can face the Elite Four if your Pokemon aren't that high enough level.
Right.
Right. And then if your Pokemon all faint, that's on you. And that's the same way of thinking of Super Metroid, where it's like, all right, if you find a way to get to the boss you're not supposed to yet, go for it. You don't have the, you know, power bombs yet or anything, but if you find a way to do it, good for you. And I think that's like super cool about you know, the game development of it.
Defeating Breath of the Wild, it's Ganon with a stick.
Yes, exactly. That's a great way of looking at it. It's just what makes the game so great. Any other thoughts about your...
About the speed booster. The
speed booster.
No, I honestly don't have much to say. It was just so much fun to use.
It is a great one. I'll give you that. Would you like to hear my number five pick?
I would love to hear it.
Okay. Well, mine's the reserve tank. It is the reserve tank. What?
You pulled a switcheroo on me.
I did. I know. On purpose. Okay. I knew I'd catch you off guard with that.
Didn't he roast me at one point for having...
Jake was talking very highly of the reserve tank, and I said to him, why? Why?
But I convinced you, I guess.
A little bit. Yes. You convinced me just a little bit.
Okay, sweet.
Because initially I was like, the reserve tank, you don't even realize you have it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So for anyone that doesn't know, the reserve tank is, it's an extra life that is saved for if Samus dies,
mm-hmm.
well, then Samus doesn't actually die. You get the reserve tank, so you get another life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, just, I don't know, don't let her die. Just, you know, have enough energy. Yeah. Like, if you're good enough, then you won't lose your health. But I didn't realize how many times it actually did save me.
Yeah.
And it's the relief of thinking that you, I'm going to have to do the whole level again and then fight the boss again. And, I have the reserve tank and I barely made it out.
Exactly.
It's genius. Honestly, I mean,
not to pull another Zelda reference, but it's the it's having a fairy in your pocket, in your bottle.
It's just like the fairy. That's so true.
You're like, crud, I'm about to die, and then the fairy boop brings you back to life.
A big boop moment. So, I mean, it's not my number one, but it's definitely my number five because it has saved me. It's given me massive moments of relief. I think you can only get four in the game, so it's not really something you could bank on entirely, and it's not really strategic to purposefully go into your reserve tank, but it's helpful.
Definitely,
it is five worthy.
Cool. Well, it's later on my list, so I'll hold off.
All right.
Although I do share most of your sentiments, but if that's all you have to say, we're kind of breezing through this. But
thanks to the coffee.
Yeah. Are you going to move on then?
What do you got?
What do I have? I am pulling up my exact list. My number four is the Screw Attack, which, well, okay, so we discussed this before we started recording, but it seems illogical that this would have just came with the jump, the spring ball when you get it. Like, why is it two separate things?
Right.
But we discussed it's kind of just the joy of Super Metroid.
Mm-hmm.
It adds to the adventure of finding these power-ups. I guess maybe, what's the word? Making you find things. I can't think of the word.
How I see it is that, all right, so you play through, you know, part of the area and, oh, I discovered the thing that turns me into a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that there was a spot that I couldn't reach before. I'll go there.
Fair enough, yeah.
Right? And then you're playing through and then you get the power up that lets you jump as a ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think, oh, well, that part at the very beginning that I wasn't able to get to before and I didn't know what it was there for. Well, now I know I could jump. So it lets you, it motivates you to use that, you know, pseudo open world by re-exploring and going back and being motivated to go back and see if you missed anything, right? Because they could have done that.
I mean,
honestly, they could have given you a bunch of power-ups right from the start and let you do it.
Yeah. But I'm not asking for it from the start.
Right.
And I agree with it. And, you know, after playing the game, it makes sense they did it this way. It just seems intuitive at first that these would have been the same power-up.
Yeah.
But, again, that's why these developers were so intelligent, because they separated it when I probably, if I was making this game, I wouldn't even think to.
Well, I've heard someone say this before, is that so there's obviously narrative aspects to this game,
mm-hmm.
but this game it's a game first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why are you even building Samus's armor? I mean, this is the third game in the story, right? Doesn't she have her armor first game?
Right.
Like the whole point is, it's almost like breaking the fourth wall and being like, oh, you're discovering it again. She lost all her armor again in the same, because it's the same map as the first game, isn't it?
To an extent, it's slightly different, but yeah, actually that was a fun thing I wanted to talk about. I guess maybe we should have talked about it 10 minutes ago when we were discussing the intro, but I think it was so cool. Especially coming immediately from playing the first game, that pretty much the first thing you do in this game is go through the destroyed remains of the final boss battle from the first game, where, I can't tell you how frustrating the final boss battle was, when you're playing a NES game with like these fidgety controls that are like, you have to nail these jumps perfectly. There's like these random energy balls coming at you from every angle, and then you have to destroy the mother brain while avoiding these energy balls. The most frustrating boss in the game, in the franchise, maybe. And it was so cool to be able to I should add, after you beat the final boss in the first Metroid, it does the same time bomb thing where you have like a minute to escape or whatever. Right. So it was cool to be able to experience this, the remains of this final boss area without the like stress of having to leave immediately.
That is cool.
Yeah. So, and the much better graphics, like experiencing this on the, mm-hmm. you know, the Super Nintendo graphics.
Right.
Was just very fun, very cool. So I think that was another very clever thing they added. But where were we at Screw Attack? Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I hate enemies in this game, mm-hmm. in general. They're sure. annoying. They're frustrating. I'd rather just, if it was
jump into them.
Yeah, but I'd rather just they just not exist, and I could just explore this map in my own time. There would be bosses that I could battle when I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy adventure games, I guess. So mm-hmm. Any little like mini boss or little enemy in my way was just super annoying. Mm-hmm. So it was very fun to be able to just hit them while jumping, and they're not an issue because I could just jump into them. Although it was frustrating sometimes when I try using this move, but it didn't go into the ball. Like I timed something wrong or whatever. So I just jumped as like Samus without the ball, I guess, and got damaged. But there's also, I guess this, I'm going to talk about the, wait, do you have the, was it the moon jump or the moon jump? Is that what it's called?
That's for me to know and you to find out, Jake.
Well, I'm going to, the space jump, I'm going to roast you real quick. Okay. I thought it felt like a cheat to me. Like, it felt like it shouldn't be in the game. Like, you could suddenly almost fly. And then combined with the screw attack, just really felt like,
oh my gosh, it's like,
it's too much power.
Right. It's like, is this a hack? Like, yeah. How did they allow this?
It felt like you just used a cheat code in this game. Like, quite literally, it just feels like a cheat code. So that's not on my list. I didn't appreciate that in the game.
Mm.
Although it was fun, it took away from the experience for me.
Okay.
So that is why I went with the screw attack, because it had the perfect balance of you could kill these enemies very easily, but it didn't feel like a cheat, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I feel you. In the defense of Super Metroid, they did save those items for far later into the game. Yeah, so it's not like you're exploring the entire place on easy mode.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what you mean, because I had that same experience. I was like, am I even playing the game right now? I'm just kind of mashing the jump button and moving forward.
Right, yeah.
I get you. But I will reserve my thoughts for the screw attack, because I might have it on my own list. Would you like to hear my number four?
Of course, Sam.
Number four, I have the X-ray scope.
Okay. Wait, did you just change your entire list from what you wrote down?
Essentially. I essentially changed my entire list. I did it pretty last minute. Okay. But I'm passionate about my changes.
Okay. This was an honorable mention for me.
Okay. It's my number four.
Cool.
I definitely liked it a lot. I appreciate at least being an honorable mention on your end.
Sweet.
But let me share my pitch.
What did you like about it, Sam?
Well, it kind of felt like the experience share in Pokemon, where you don't need to use it, but it makes things easier, especially when you're struggling.
Okay.
Right? It's like you can play the game, and if you're getting frustrated and you're like, oh, I'm like not enjoying this, I just want to get out of this room right now.
Okay.
Well, then you turn on the X-ray and you check around, and it's basically, it's like a confidence booster. It lets you, like, when I got that, I was like, okay, I know if I'm doing something right or wrong. It's not going to help me beat the boss.
Right.
It's not going to help me defeat the aliens, but it's like further guidance.
Mm-hmm.
They give it to you, I feel like it's like halfway through, just about, maybe a little over halfway through. So it's not like you are using it the entire time, because I feel like that would ruin the experience of like figuring out like how the game designers were thinking. Like, you know, you still have to like break some walls down, you know, plant some bombs in the corner. And then once you kind of figure out where to find things, well, then they let you have the X-ray scope, and then you can kind of feel your way around and see if you need to break through that wall. Or I didn't think of that. It was very helpful on my first playthrough. You know, obviously if it's your fourth playthrough, I don't think you're going to be using the X-ray scope much.
Right.
But it is very helpful for our first playthrough.
I definitely agree.
It's a little bit of a luxury item, but it takes the weight off of the gameplay just a bit.
Yeah.
If that's your style, right? And if you're an adventurous gamer, as in you like to just explore.
Yeah.
Well, then maybe the X-ray scope is your item.
Right. And to clarify for listeners, the X-ray scope lets you essentially not move, but it lets you look around the map and see where bombable areas are, just for people who maybe haven't played in a while.
Sure.
But yeah, that's exactly why it was an honorable mention for me. It wasn't essential to the game, but it made things easier. And if you're in a room with a dead end in Metroid, you know you're supposed to bomb something.
Yes.
So maybe you don't have to waste your time bombing every square inch of the room. You could just use the X-ray scope, you know, pause for a second, breathe, and look around, and then you know, move on. So it did make playing this game a lot easier Again, coming off of the first Metroid, mm-hmm. which didn't have this, it was like where you just had to guess a lot of the time. This just felt like such a gift to the gamer, mm-hmm. From Nintendo. So yeah, that's why it was honorable for me, and definitely I understand it being on your list. Is that all you really had to say about it?
Yeah, you're right. It's a luxury item. You don't need it. It just made my first playthrough a little more enjoyable. That's all I got.
Cool. Should I see it? I'm going to do mine and then we're going to go to break and then we'll do your third.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. My number three is the Spacer Beam, which was my favorite beam choice. Going into this game, I didn't realize once you pick up a new beam, you lose your ability, depending on the beam, I guess, to use a previous beam that you've had. So I forget the exact order of the beams I picked up. But so the Spacer Beam has three shots, right? Mm-hmm. So then, I don't know, some of the other beams that you get afterwards only has one shot, which to me is annoying. I'd rather have three shots. I don't care if it's a more powerful single shot. The Spacer's three beams was the most enjoyable for me.
To be fair, you can go into your menu and then turn one off and turn one back on.
Are you serious?
That is an option.
Sam, I'm learning this right now.
Yep, it is an option. But that is not to discredit the Spacer Beam.
Oh, well, it's still my favorite regardless. Sure. I didn't know that, though. Oh, my gosh.
I know. Well, and that goes as part of the whole, like, they were really making this game as detailed as they could. They let you modify Samus's equipment to the point of you can turn on and off certain things that you don't even need to turn off.
Like, yeah. Oh, well, I'm upset now because I played half this game thinking I lost my Spacer. Oh my gosh. I probably could have shaved a few hours off of my gameplay. Yep. Wow. I kind of just needed a second there. Sorry.
That's okay.
The Spacer Beam is still my favorite. That doesn't change anything. That just makes me cry inside. Pretty much, like I said, I did not enjoy coming across any enemy in my travels. So the Spacer Beam pretty much guaranteed I would hit it. Hit an enemy without having to get near it because three is better than one. I don't know if there's a lot really to say, which maybe goes for a few of these items.
Sure.
It just made my gameplay easier, more enjoyable for me and my style of gameplay up until I thought I lost it. It was actually a very frustrating experience thinking I didn't have the Spacer Beam. And it made me enjoy it that much more and long for it.
The grass is always greener on the other side.
No, it's always greener on the Spacer Beam side.
I'm with you because in terms of like the shooting modifiers, I would probably pick Spacer above the other ones. I know the freeze one was pretty cool for what it is, but I didn't like how you had to, you know, freeze them and then break the ice. If I had to pick one to keep and not have the other ones, I would probably pick Spacer as well.
Yeah, I made this list shortly after I played the game. And thinking retrospectively on the game, I think the freeze beam was what I spent the most time with, thinking I can't switch between beams.
Okay.
Or it might have been like the beam I had after the Spacer Beam, which is why maybe I didn't enjoy it or appreciate it as much at the time. Mm-hmm. But thinking back now, I think the Freeze Beam would be an honorable, at least for me.
Okay.
Because although I did think it was annoying that you had to freeze an enemy and then kill them, it was also very cool that you could freeze an enemy and jump on them as a platform.
Yep.
I think that was such a clever feature of the game.
It unlocks other parts. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you have to freeze them, jump on them just to get out of the region.
Exactly.
Another great example of how, I don't even know how they designed this map so geniusly. Just the planet of Zebes, how like...
I have something to say about this.
It's your number. So let's hear what you had to say.
they didn't connect the areas and they didn't know how they were going to connect them until only a month before the game came out.
Wow.
How insane is that?
That is a stroke of luck.
This was an internal argument throughout the process of creating the game. They didn't know what would be the best way to connect it for the gamer experience. And I think it ended up very well.
Oh my gosh. I knew there had to have been some kind of very thoughtful thinking that went into it.
Yeah.
Because it's not Super Mario World where you go from one point and then end on the other. It's, essentially it's a 2D open world game.
More or less.
Right. And how are you going to connect it all? I couldn't imagine having to do that.
Me either, Sam. And thankfully, we don't have to.
We could just talk about it.
And now we'll stop talking about it as we go to break. Be right back, guys.
One heist. Six plots for betrayal. When Raya Cautela cons five other thieves into helping her steal a magical artifact from the most powerful man in the world, she knows she's playing with fire. What she doesn't know is that the rest of her crew is just as underhanded as she is, and they all have plans of their own. MJ Kuhn's Among Thieves, a fantasy heist novel full of twists, turns, and betrayal, available beginning September 7th wherever books are sold. Visit mjkuhn.com for more details.
Hi there, I'm David.
And I'm Kate.
And we're the hosts of another Zelda podcast.
There are so many good podcasts out there, and some of them in particular concern The Legend of Zelda.
That's right, Kate, and we are another one of them. That is actually the name of our show, Another Zelda Podcast.
And in our show in particular, we talk about some of our favorite dungeons, characters, boss battles. We have top 10 lists.
Yeah, we do deep dives on game design and production aspects of the different Zelda games.
And we talk about our own experiences. We do some review episodes, talk about our challenges, our struggles, and our victories.
That's right. You know, really just almost anything that has to do with Zelda, we like to talk about it. A new episode comes out every other Friday, and you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and YouTube.
And you can also check out our episodes on our website, anotherzeldapodcast.com.
That's right. All right, we will see you there.
Okay, bye.
What is up, guys? We are back. Woo! So over the break, I realized how dumb I was in not saying that when we were discussing about the movie influences. I was reading that the developers couldn't come up with a convincing enough sound for some of the bosses, so they literally just sampled Godzilla, which is very, very unusual for video games to sample a movie.
Right. I feel like it would be such a fine detail having something like a Godzilla noise to put in your game. Like, usually games don't demand that much, especially in 1994.
Yeah.
What was it? Like, there's the 50s Godzilla? I forget what year it was. Like,
What I read is it was like they just said Godzilla movies. It might have been several. I don't really know what exactly they took, but I thought that was hilarious.
I mean, it makes total sense. I feel like some of those bosses were one of the bosses certainly reminded me, I think it was Kraid.
Yeah.
Was like, this is Godzilla, basically. So smart move on their part. Another thing that I thought was cool about the whole influences from movies is that we had, you know, Star Wars has the famous, like, yeah, we are setting the story. This is what is happening in this universe, right? And then in Blade Runner, came out a couple years afterwards, they do the same thing where they explain to the audience what the replicants are, right? And then and Super Metroid does a very similar thing where it's not as long, but it kind of like pays tribute to its influences in a fun way.
Yeah. Definitely definitely had a lot of movie influence making this move making this game.
Super Metroid movie, when
you know what, that's actually something I was also reading about, is that like if Nintendo made a movie, it would be a Metroid movie.
It would have to be
I guess they have made Pokemon and Sonic, but if for the longest time before Pokemon and Sonic came out, it was pretty much a given that a Metroid movie would happen. Right. But ultimately, they probably didn't because of how much influence it drew from sci-fi movies. Mm. That it would be hard to make it original. It would be hard to make it like a standout movie.
Right, because the thing about Super Metroid is that it's almost like maybe purposefully derivative. Like it's more fun seeing how they show the references.
Yeah.
And it's not really something that is the building blocks to a great literal story, right? Because it's not a game for its story. It's more of its gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I would totally see a Metroid movie for sure.
Yeah, I would watch it if it happened.
Yeah, I mean, they could make, they have like some great character designs that mm-hmm. I think they could build and make look amazing.
Right.
I mean, there's iconic stages that they could, you know, build on, like Brinstar. I'm thinking they could make crazy warfare.
Yeah, definitely. If we're considering like the 3D Metroids, the first person Metroids, that definitely it's very even more so cinematic, even easier to make into a movie if you consider that.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know if Nintendo would really be about that nowadays, especially since we haven't had a Metroid in who knows how long.
I know. It's been a very long time. But with the success of Detective Pikachu, who knows, right?
Detective Pikachu was a gift.
Right. We've already said how much we like it.
Yeah. I also was reading that the producer of Metroid didn't think it would be a success because the previous two games actually didn't do too well in the Asian markets compared to the US. So he actually got very upset with developers for spending so much time and getting so involved with the game and actually doing a lot of overtime work on the game. And I was reading they actually even worked on Christmas of the Christmas before the game was released.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which is like wild. I think I was reading the only break they actually took, like holiday break, was New Year's.
Wow.
That's just how...
And it paid off.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, though. It's not even that they... Like, Nintendo by no means forced them to do that. They wanted to. Like, they were so involved with this game, nobody wanted to take a break from
just the passion. They were so committed.
Yeah, and they spent about 3 years developing it, which the first 6 months was just trying to convince Nintendo that it was worthwhile to make this game. And then the next year or so was just coming up with the idea. So they really spent so much time with it, and it was a small team of 15 developers. They spent so much time and was so involved that they all like felt such an attachment to it that they wanted to make it like a perfect game. And I was reading that even eventually when they decided like, okay, we got to just master it at this point, like it's time. I forget the name, and I don't want to butcher anyone's name anyway, but some of the developers were actually like literally crying at the idea of not working on this game anymore.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a similar story for the director of Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Really?
As we discussed, is that was his baby, and he put so much time into it. He wouldn't sleep. He'd be working on it for days straight. Yeah. And that game turned out great too.
Mad respect for these Nintendo developers.
I know. Committed.
For real.
All right. Well, I'm ready to share my number three
pick. Number three, Sam. Let's do it.
For number three pick, I chose the standard missile. Because once you get to a certain point in this game, it is the most essential. Okay. It's not, but at the same time it is.
Yeah.
Because, well, to get to certain paths, sure. Sometimes you have to shoot the five missiles, open the barriers. Mm-hmm. But the boss battles, I wouldn't have beat the bosses without some of these missiles. Yep. You know, the standard missile, at least. And it's just super easy to use, too.
Mm-hmm.
You have other attacks that we've talked about. The freeze.
Spacer beams.
Yeah, spacer beam. Maybe less intuitive than just firing a very powerful attack straight in one direction. it kind of just speeds up the gameplay, lets you defeat the enemies a little quicker. And like I said, it's essential for entering new areas. So yeah. are lots of things. But it's just also, it's exciting. It reminded me of using, because I was introduced to Samus through Smash Bros.
Mm-hmm. And same, yeah.
Right. And you use the missile is the special attack.
Yeah.
So it was my first familiarity, my first connection was recognizing, oh, I remember this attack from the game. I think it's cool. I think in Metroid Prime, in the 3D ones, they allow you to direct the missile.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah. Would have been cool to have in Super Metroid. Probably a little hard to pull off, though.
Yeah.
That's all I got. I mean, it's how I defeated all the bosses.
Yeah.
And I used it probably more than any other
item. Yeah, that's pretty valid. And going off that, not only is it does it make defeating these bosses easier, but it's finite. So, like, unlike the Spacer Beam, you have to be strategic about it. You don't want to waste one. You don't want to miss a target with it, you know. You have to be very smart about how you use them, especially if you're running low on them, obviously. But also I wanted to say, like you mentioned, it would have been cool, but probably very hard to pull off at the time to make it targeted. I'm going to go real quick into my number two. I'm just going to mention it. I think we're about done anyway, right?
Let's see. Yeah.
Okay, sure. Then I'll just say my number two was the Morph Ball / the Spring Ball. And so the Morph Ball only came along because it was too hard for them to have Samus crawl. They couldn't. They were like, they found it very difficult to make a crawling, not animation, you know what I mean?
Right.
Develop a Samus who could crawl. So they made a ball, which was just easier to portray. I don't know much terminology about it.
Neither do I.
Creating video games. But I think that's hilarious because it's a trademark of Samus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Samus turns into a ball to move around.
It's so sci-fi because it's like, how did Samus become a small circle?
Right.
But it totally works because there's, you know, those like mazes that look like a hamster maze.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where you see it and you know, okay, I can't fit in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if my character could crawl, I would not be able to crawl in there.
Yeah.
And it immediately... ball, turn into the ball.
Right.
And it's so iconic because of how creative an idea it is, I think.
Yeah. And also turning into the ball before you get the spring ball, you know, bombing yourself as a ball to get onto those ledges. So sometimes you have to bomb the wall to like a secret area in the wall, you know what I mean? So then you can't jump onto that ledge because it's only the size of the ball. So you have to drop a bomb under you to propel you upwards and then at like simultaneously move to the left or right to go into that crack in the wall you just made. So just another like such a clever way they utilize that disadvantage that they came with, they came across in the beginning. They utilized it to make a better game ultimately. So I guess in a way their shortcomings became an advantage. In creating the game.
Through creativity.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It was their decision. Like, is this an obstacle or is this, you know? Yeah.
And again, just goes to show how amazing these developers were even so long ago with not much to really base what they were creating off of.
Sure.
I also wanted to say, I know I picked two things for my number two. So this is kind of what I was saying earlier, where like intuitively... if you have the Morph Ball, it makes sense you would also have the Spring Ball, which, for listeners who may not remember or maybe never played this game, the Morph Ball lets you turn into the ball. The Spring Ball lets you jump as the ball. And then the Screw Attack is the third ball ability that I mentioned earlier that lets you attack an enemy while in the ball, while jumping, combining all three things. I acknowledge there are two separate things, and I acknowledge the strategy that goes into this game by making them two separate things, but it didn't make sense to me to pick one of those things on my top five list and not the other thing. But in the like simultaneously, I didn't want the three ball things on my top five. I guess I have other things on my top five that I think deserve to be on the list. So maybe this is cheating, but these two things are my number two. And I'm counting them as one. But yeah, so like I said, it was just a lot of fun to be able to use the morph ball and with the bombs to like go through areas that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. It's a fun little like strategy thing where you're stuck in a corner of a room and you don't know why, and then you use the X-ray scope and you realize the previous thing I just mentioned that I'm not going to repeat because it's a lot to describe, but where you bomb yourself as a ball. When I got the spring ball, I wasn't expecting it, so it was super fun to have it. It felt like, at that point, it felt like, wait, why didn't I just have this the whole time? I was a little annoyed, but it also felt very rewarding, I guess, to have it. And not having to bomb myself to propel upwards anymore. How do you feel about it, Tim?
Besides a couple of the more like maze style parts of each place, pretty boring.
Yeah, it's not on your list.
Yeah. I felt like, oh, I'm moving just a little bit slower than I normally would be.
I didn't notice.
It's definitely slower than running.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's not much of an attack. You can drop the bombs. So that's just why it's not on my list. Is because okay. I didn't really feel thrilled by the ball. Yeah. Well, I say that, and my number two pick is the power bomb.
yeah. I mean, okay, for me, it felt like such an integral part of the game, of like an integral part of Samus, that like it needed to be up there. Because when I think Metroid, when I think Samus, I think turning into a ball, like we described.
Oh, totally. And like I said, number two pick, being the power bomb, there's definitely cool parts about being the little circle. Mm-hmm. The power bomb is one of the strongest attacks. It probably is the strongest attack. I mean,
could be.
You clear the whole screen. I know you're not as much of a Kirby guy. I've played tons of Kirby games. And what it reminded me of, I'm not sure which came first, but what it reminded me of is Kirby's microphone ability, where...
I don't know what you're referring to.
Well, I'll explain it. So, Kirby gets like the sword attack, and mm-hmm. you kind of look like Link. Maybe gets that like...
The air-sucking...
That's the normal Kirby attack. Or maybe you're the fire and you turn into a ball of fire. But there's the rare enemy where you absorb the power and you have a microphone and you get three.
That's cool.
You get three attacks and then the ability's gone. And what you do is you scream into a microphone and it kills everybody.
On
the screen. It kills everyone.
That's
on the
hilarious.
Screen. Because it's so loud. Because it's so loud that everyone... And I think the idea is that, like, oh, sound travels more than fire or a sword. I think that's the thinking. But it's extremely ridiculous.
That's hilarious.
But I guess
that's so Kirby-esque.
I know, because they don't want to be, like, too malicious or destructive. Yeah. So it's just like, it's so loud. I love it. I don't care. I love it. So obviously I played that first and then I used the power bomb and I'm like, oh my, same thing. I'm so attached to this. I know that if I played this game as a kid, as like a 10-year-old,
mm-hmm.
this would be my number one pick because it's so powerful and you feel like, oh, I could defeat anyone in one click.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the gamer's dream, mm-hmm. especially at an age of like 10. Very empowering. As I would say, that's all I got to say about it. Do you have any experience with the power bomb?
I do have some experience having played the game, but it's not on my list because I don't know. Maybe the same reason as the space jump, where it felt a little hacky. Like
it's too powerful for you.
Too powerful.
Wow. Okay.
Where I guess I'm walking a fine line here because I'm claiming I don't like any enemies coming across my path. Meanwhile, I don't like this object that will kill any enemy that comes in my path.
Right.
Pretty much. But yeah, I don't know. So you get the... You, in the beginning, to open the... You, to go to the next room, you shoot a laser at the little wall thing, the door, the entranceway to open it, and then you walk through. And then eventually you need the missiles to break the more fortified walls to get to the next room. And then you need this power bomb eventually for like the even more fortified, you know, ones. So it kind of felt a little cheesy at this point. We're like, okay, we get it. You just keep creating more powerful weapons to go to the next room, to kind of make to prevent you from moving to the next stage too early. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're like, it was the next logical step. It made too much sense. Maybe it was a little too powerful for me.
So you fear power is what you're getting at?
No, it was just too much. Like, the missiles were fine because it's not a one hit kill, but it is more powerful. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. But this was kind of just, it kind of just made Samus feel maybe a god.
so too unrelatable for you, the power.
Okay,
bomb.
There you go. A little, okay. But also, why doesn't it hurt Samus?
Well, because
do you have an answer?
Because of Samus's super suit. I have no clue. I am sure there's some incredible fan fiction that would explain it to us.
Yeah. Wait. Actually, weren't there like comics back in the day?
I don't know, some sort of
anime-ish. I don't know. Maybe not.
I don't know. It's worth looking up. Someone let us know if you have any obscure Metroid comics.
Yeah.
I'd love to see them.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, even the cover of this game, the box looks very, very much like a
comic
book. Very much like a comic book.
And, I mean, Kirby had a long running TV show.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're no strangers to the adaptation.
So did, not to say it again, but Zelda. But that was a complete flop.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about it. Okay. Where are we at now? Where are we at? You just said you're number two?
Yep.
I'm not talking into the mic, sorry. Okay. Well, we're kind of moving fast. So I want to say a little fun fact real quick.
Please share all the fun facts.
Not exactly Super Metroid, but the first Metroid, Samus was originally supposed to be a male character. Mm. And this is, we have evidence of this because in the manuals of the original game, it actually uses male pronouns.
Wow.
And refers to Samus as a male.
They didn't feel like switching or?
Maybe it was an oversight.
Okay.
I don't know the reasoning, but maybe they didn't realize they already wrote the manuals and then they decided to change.
Yeah.
To make her a female.
Well, sometimes I feel like, you know, it's a different department is doing the, you know, the manual and they're like, oh, we already submitted it. We can't change it.
Maybe they didn't even know because you don't know until the end of the game.
Right, right.
Maybe they assumed.
Yeah.
Totally. That's actually, you know, for the times, I think that's probably maybe the best bet. That they just assume,
right? They have this one company that does all the Nintendo booklets, and mm-hmm. they just are used to writing. Like, they're probably not told the entire story,
right?
Yeah,
huh? Yeah, that's actually that's pretty interesting. My own fun fact is pretty interesting. That might be all the fun facts. At release, it was the biggest game on the Super Nintendo.
Wow.
Which was like, I think it was like 40 megabytes or something, which is like.
Like in terms of space that.
Oh, the most memory. Yeah, sorry. Oh, okay. I didn't mean like biggest as in the universe they created.
Right.
Although, maybe at the time it was. I don't know. But I meant in memory.
Yeah.
It took up the most space on a cartridge. By the time the console finished, it was not even close. But at the time, it was the biggest game, which is. Like I said, like 40 megabytes is like so insanely small nowadays.
Right, right.
Where like 40 gigabytes is like the maybe a triple a game nowadays. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's another cool fun fact.
That's awesome. Well, they definitely put in the effort to make it that big. It's not all for show. It's filled with substance.
Ooh, one more fun fact.
Please keep them coming.
It's Smash Bros. Though. But it's still
okay,
Metroid.
Cool. I like Smash Bros.
Well, as you know, Samus and Zero Suit Samus was one character back in the day. But then in the newer Smash Bros., it's two separate characters. And that was because when they were developing like online play for Smash Bros. It took too much like system power, I guess, to be able to morph, like to transition between the two characters. Using the super, final smashes.
Right.
All the characters who had who were technically two characters.
Zelda and Sheik.
Exactly. Were separated for that reason, which is pretty interesting.
Interesting.
Which I feel like nowadays isn't necessary with like Ultimate. Probably wouldn't be the case that it would slow down online play that much.
Yeah, because I think the new character is the 2-in-1.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know their name offhand, but
I totally forget. I've only played them when they came out, and they're a great character. Both.
And that was a huge like. Everyone was like, "What the heck? I thought you stopped doing this. Mm-hmm. Why would you separate the other characters and then create this new one?"
You got Pokemon Trainer who does it too.
Yeah, that's valid. That's valid.
Yeah, that's 3-in-1.
Yeah. All right, you have a good point. That is the last fun fact I have. And I think we are good to go to the number one. Let's do number one. My number one is, as I think, your number four, the reserve tank.
That was my number five.
Your number five.
Even. Yeah.
Okay. Well, originally, I don't know when we last discussed this, a couple weeks ago, maybe, I said my reserve tank was number one, and you said, "Jake, what the heck? You're silly." I think you said
word for word.
Yeah, exactly like that. and I said, "No, Sam, I'm not silly. You might not notice it or think about it, but as you mentioned a half hour ago, it's like the most essential thing in the game. It's a lifesaver when you don't even realize it's a lifesaver, quite literally. And when you're playing this game, it is so frustrating to die and have to like redo everything you just did. So having this extra reserve tank, extra health, is not only essential, I guess, in the later game to defeat maybe the last couple bosses, unless you're really good at the game. But it's just something that makes this game in general a lot easier and a lot less stressful for me as a gamer who's more in it for the adventure than for the combat. So I respect the heck out of the reserve tank, Sam. It made my life easier. It made my gameplay more enjoyable.
Well, I can't blame you for that.
Yeah,
it was on my list. It depends on your playstyle, I think.
Yeah,
is how much you'll get out of it. But you're a man of gratitude.
Yeah.
and I could see it making your number one.
Thank you, Sam.
Well, clearly I have a different number one pick than you.
You must.
It is one that you also mentioned. I picked the screw attack for number one.
Okay.
For me, it is the most fun power-up to use. You get it a little later in the game. Mm-hmm. And you pretty much just demolish everything that's in your way. It's this perfect balance of the game isn't made too easy, but it kind of lets you like speed things up, clear what's in your way, feel super powerful as Samus. It's not super essential of an item. I mean, Most items aren't in this game to a degree. This one, I think maybe there's certain aliens that you can only defeat with the screw attack, but that's not...
Could be.
It's not really why you use it. You use it just to be... just literally for fun is how I use it. It's a
fun one.
Similar to the super speed. It's like a superpower. You turn it into this like... light ball that can clear its path, and that's kind of it's the power up that clicked the most with me. And if I only had to pick one to keep, I would pick the screw tech.
Right, you say click the most, and that's pretty much what I was saying earlier. It just made sense.
Yeah,
when I got it, you already had the morph ball at that point. It just made sense. All right, I guess the spring ball, I meant.
Right.
At that point, it just made sense that it would also have a dual purpose as an attack. Yeah, it clicked. It's a fun attack. Mm-hmm. I mean, I already talked about it. I guess not much more to say, but I completely agree with you. Maybe not agree having it as number one. And actually, I want to ask, I don't know if maybe I'm forgetting, but okay. Did you not have any beams on your list?
No, I guess I didn't have any like beam upgrade. I had the missile
for worth. Okay, yeah, you did have a missile. So can I ask then, could you pick a favorite beam just for fun?
I don't want to steal your pick.
The spazer? No, it's valid. Spazer,
I think the spazer just because it's the best.
Three for one.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's
what
it's
more
great
could you
to
ask
use.
For?
Nothing. You can't ask for any more besides maybe a freeze.
A freezing spazer, you mean?
Maybe a freezing spazer that just defeats them in one hit instead of two.
And is also a power bomb.
Yeah, it is also a power bomb.
All right. I guess that's about it. So let's do it. Let's get into it.
Oh, golly.
I think it's... okay. So I don't have your list in front of me because you did a switcheroo on me.
Well, I have my list right here for you.
Okay, so you just spun your laptop around so I could also view it. Thank you, Sim. So we both have the reserve tank on the opposite ends of this list. So do you want to just negotiate right now and put that in number three?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, sweet. Glad we could get that out. X-ray scoop, you have. I have it on my honorable. I would be happy having it on this list. I would not mind that.
Maybe a five?
Okay. Let's do five.
Cool.
You have power bomb. Let's get the easy ones out of the way. Screw attack, you have at number one. I have it at number four. We already picked the number three. Let's put it at number... because then I don't know what we put at number one. What's our number ones?
I think you said it. I think you talked yourself right
into... I talked myself into a corner. Oh, gosh. All right, let's do that, but then we're putting spacer at number two.
Okay.
Okay, screw attack number one, spacer number two. What'd we say was number three? The reserve tank number three. Okay.
Extra scope number five, what's number four?
Okay. Can we do speed booster?
Let's do speed booster.
Do you want to? Because it wasn't on your list, and it's my number five technically.
Well, I'll allow it just because I have my screw attack at number one. And the speed booster, it was fun. It would be an honorable mention for me. It didn't make my top five.
I changed my mind.
Oh, how dare
you. Could we do spring ball?
Okay. Spring ball's good.
Okay. So, oh gosh. But you're pushing it. I just forgot everything. Number five. Sam, help me out.
Number five, X-ray scope.
X-ray scope. Okay. Number four is a spring ball. Number three, reserve tank. Number two, what did we say? Did we say screw attack? We said number one, screw attack. Number two, spazer. There we go. Yes. Okay. Here is our top five for those who missed the last two times we just said it. number one, I'm going to mess it up again. Number one, screw attack. Number two, spazer beam. Number three, reserve tank. Number four, spring ball. Yeah.
Yes.
Number five, X-ray scope. There it is. Top five. What are we calling this? Weapons and upgrades for in Super Metroid. This was a fun episode.
A great one.
I'm going to tell y'all right now. I forgot to take notes. but I think we nailed it.
The big plot twist reveal.
Yeah. I think this is actually I've had the most fun with this episode. I enjoyed this, Sim.
I think
the coffee helped.
Yes.
The Kobu helped. Let's make that a regular appearance on the show.
It'll have to be.
Thank you guys so much for listening. To round this out real quick, if you aren't following us on Twitter at Top5Nintendo, with the number five not spelled out, at Top5Nintendo on Twitter, feel free to tweet at us, DM us. If you think our list is totally out of whack, tell us why. If you agree with us completely, we love you. Let us know on Twitter. You could email us if you want us to talk about anything specific, if you have any topics in mind, or you want to just tell us we're very cool. Our email is it's top5nintendopodcast@gmail.com. Again, the number five, top5nintendopod@gmail.com. I'm so sorry. by the time this comes out, we should also probably have an Instagram, which will also, I don't know what it's going to be, but it should be up by the time this is out. Thank you guys so much for listening. We have a few other episodes you can listen to. We'll have another episode in 2 weeks. We love you guys. Okay, bye.
Thanks for listening.